Irenaeus was a second century bishop in what is now France. One of his most celebrated quotes is his belief that a human being fully alive is the glory of God. One way of understanding this is that a human being fully alive makes manifest in the world, amplifies, magnifies in the world, albeit imperfectly, the loving, healing, and liberating power of the reality of God. To be fully alive can be defined as being fully present and aware of being, rather than living in a state of distracted doing, distracted by our tasks and our busyness, distracted from the wondrous, the truly beautiful, and the miraculous that surrounds us. When we are fully alive, we might more easily see extraordinary possibility as we experience the potential creativity of each moment in its fullness. Being fully alive may not mean being completely unburdened of the things that cause us pain. Rather, it's to maintain and hold a more expansive appreciation of the present in our awareness, including the action and the reality of God in our lives. Fortunately, for those of us who find ourselves often distracted and caught up in the busyness of it all, even when we are completely oblivious to our deeper reality, Scripture teaches that the Spirit dwelling within us is ceaselessly praying, longing for God on our behalf. And this keeps the way open, offers us a path, should we choose to take it, offers us a path right into fullness of life. And so even in our noisy and distracted cultural realities, this is our spiritual reality. This is the spiritual potential of our human life. What does it take for us to feel this, to really know this? As Episcopalians, we hold that participating in a life patterned on the daily, weekly, and seasonal cycles of prayer and worship forms us over time in this knowing. Such participation, though, calls for commitment, and life can all too easily present competing demands on our time and on our energy. Thankfully for us, our lives are also full of miraculous moments, large and small, dramatic and mundane, moments that grasp our imagination, that can shake up our understanding of reality, moments that invite us into fullness of life. I think that today's gospel story teaches us something critical about that invitation and how we might come to accept it for ourselves and know this fullness in our own lives. The 10 lepers who approached Jesus were, kind of like us, living in a noisy and distracting cultural reality. They were socialized and formed to behave in certain ways, to expect to live life in a certain way, The cause of their suffering was not only physical, but also social and spiritual. They'd been excluded from their community and from religious practice, two areas of life which have long taught that God should be placed at the center of it all. The 10 lepers approach and they call out to Jesus, giving voice to their desire to receive God's mercy and be healed, be restored. Jesus hears them and responds, and each one of them is healed. Jesus heals because he was trusted and because he was asked. His healing is unconditional. It wasn't dependent on any particular response from the ones who received his mercy. It was instead freely given, a response in love to those who were asking to be freed from their suffering. All 10 are healed. And 9 respond in the way they've been taught. Convention tells them to set off and show themselves to the priests. This is not an inherently bad response. It's expected. It's tradition, after all. But it can be interpreted here, perhaps, as being only a partial response. One of those healed does something different, seemingly struck by the insight that the glorious presence and power of God is at work in his life. This one man responds differently. He turns back and returns to Jesus, throwing himself on the ground before him, thanking him. This man is overwhelmed by the desire to praise and worship God. And in so doing, he accepts the invitation. He accepts the invitation to participate in the embrace of love that is eternally initiated by God within us and beyond us. And with that chosen response, with that accepted invitation into the fullness of God's love, surely, surely nothing can ever be the same again for this person. Because now both the reality and the potential of fullness in life in God has been both experienced and, importantly, it's been acknowledged. This story is surely teaching us about the importance of rightly responding to God, teaching us something of the appropriate response to being led from the wilderness of suffering into the promised land of wholeness and fullness of life. And to paraphrase Moses, as he stood with the Israelites on the cusp of their long-awaited crossing into that promised land, when things start going well, when you have the comforts you've been longing for, the life or the people you've hoped and prayed for, take care that you do not forget the Lord your God. Don't simply keep going, allowing yourself to be drawn ever onward by convention or cultural expectations or ego. Instead, accept God's invitation to live life fully. This man's healing encounter with Jesus teaches us the importance of turning back. Turning back and coming back to the Lord our God in praise and thanksgiving before doing anything else. To acknowledge and respond with praise and thanksgiving, to our own ongoing conversion of life, and to allow any new awareness of God's healing presence and action in our life, allow that to drive our thinking and our doing. Allow that to influence our decisions and our choices. Turn back. And first, come back and respond to God. Because fullness of life, it's an invitation. And it's ours to accept over and over again.